years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so that you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Now, we do have a lot of things that are going on here. We've got Ned is losing his hearing, and that's very scary for him. We don't understand the why of that. Betsy has had to have surgery, and we don't understand all the reasons why that those things have happened. And then we've had the loss of the Toth's son, Alex. And our tendency is to try to figure these things out so that we can, want to recognize how we would feel in that situation, so we can come alongside somebody and feel that alongside them, so we can feel it. We also, some of us, want to recognize what went wrong in a situation so that we can try to fix it. You know, there's a lot of us that that's just how we immediately want to feel and react to it. But oftentimes, we have these situations that occur, and we get so focused sometimes on trying to understand the why behind it that we oftentimes forget that we are called to faith. And that faith is that we need to always remember, as has been mentioned already this morning, that while we may not understand all the whys behind these things and the when of these things, that regardless of that, we know that God will be able to use these things for the good of those who love Him. And that's what we can place our faith in. Ben Barnett, I think, gave us a good example of that a few weeks ago as well. He was talking about the little F faith, right? And those things that we have faith in because we can see that with our own vision or through our own understanding. But then he called us to having the big F faith, right? And living by what we can't see and what we don't understand. Continuing on in verse 7 of Proverbs, we see that be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment in your bones. So there we have, a further reinforcement of not relying upon our own wisdom or our own understanding there, right? But then we come to verse 13 and we see, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. So how do we reconcile this apparent contradiction there? So I think how we can do that is by taking a look back at verse 6. So in verse 6, it says in the Common English Bible, know Him in all of your paths, and He will keep your way straight. In verses 11 and 12, we see, don't reject the instruction of the Lord, my son. Don't despise His correction. The Lord loves those He corrects, just like a father who treats his son with favor. So I think in all of this, I think we see that it sounds a lot like our life experiences is how God is able to help us to get to this point of wisdom, right? And I think that but by itself, just having life experiences doesn't lead us to the wisdom that's listed there in verse 13 of finding that wisdom and understanding. I think it's only found in verse 7 of being not wise in our own eyes, but to get from verse 7 to verse 13 to get to that finding the wisdom that God calls us to be able to be blessed with, I think it takes verse 6 and 11. And we can do that by knowing His instruction in all of our paths, and that He will keep our way straight through correction. So where can we find this instruction and correction? I've kind of described it in the past of this three-legged stool that God uses to lift us up higher to Him, right? And so those three legs are His Word, His Holy Spirit, and then the advice of folks who are living out the two greatest commandments of loving God and loving their neighbor as themselves. And whenever we have those types of folks around us, that's how that we can receive that additional help that goes along with the work of the Holy Spirit, and that we can find and make sure that we're aligning our efforts and our will to that of God's, that they can help us with that. And as has been mentioned before, when Steve was up here, Deidre and I were talking about this with the Life Group also. We've had so many families here who have gone through the loss of a child, and that's just such a huge resource for the Toths that I think is going to be so important for us to go forward. And I think that's exactly how God calls us to be together. So where do we go with all this? So that in our ways we can acknowledge Him, and so that He will make our path straight. So it's been mentioned before as well. Pray. So how are we to pray? So there's many verses in there talking to us about if we pray with faith that it will be granted to us. But what's the there's something there that we need to be able to hold to, because sometimes it doesn't feel like our prayers are being answered in the ways that we would want them to. And I think that Jesus actually helps us with this example to be able to apply to our lives when we're praying, when we see what He did in the Garden of Gethsemane, when He prayed 3 times for God, if it was possible to remove this cup from Him. But if it was unable to be removed from Him, then He was praying for God's will to go ahead and be done. And I think that's exactly how we need to approach our prayers in all these situations where we just don't understand how that's going to be, that we come alongside God in that way. And then also we need to remember that we don't have to know or figure out the who, what, when, where, how, or why of God's promises that we find in Romans chapter 8, 26 to 28. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. Amen. All right, so speaking of love, let's not forget verse 12 from Proverbs 3. The Lord loves those He corrects and treats, and just like a father who treats his son with favor. So in terms of unfailing love, we don't have to rely upon our own understanding to sustain us, as God provides for us through His love. He provides for us in what we learn as small children. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Not only that God loves us but as the Father, but He also loved so much that He sacrifices His Son, but the Son loved us to the point of giving His all. In Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, we see that being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And at that point of death, something significant occurs there for us to point us forward to hope. Okay? So in Matthew 27, in verses 50 and 51, that when Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up His spirit, and then behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 through 20 helps us to understand why that was such an important thing. Starting in verse 18, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Here we see that the Christian's hope enters into the place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. So the curtain, which represents death, separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies, which represents heaven, where God dwelt. But we see here also that hope is a refuge in verse 18. And in verse 19, hope is a sure and steadfast anchor for the soul. But unlike an anchor that goes to the bottom of the ocean and holds us fast, our anchor goes up to heaven and holds fast to the rock. So what should we, as Christians, place our hope in? Whenever I was making my rounds to the hospitals on Thursday and been visiting with folks. I had my son Tim with me, and whenever we entered in the room with Sarah and Trevor and found out that Alex had already passed, Tim had to step out into the hall on his own and call his mom, let him know that Alex had gone. And then the next thing that he did was he texted us the scripture to his mother and I. And I want to read it for you. It's from Revelation 21. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And that's the kind of hope that I think that we can place in God's promises. And included in that is the hope of resurrection from the dead, a full and complete salvation, eternal life, and seeing and sharing in God's glory. And Jesus points to this hope of sharing in God's glory when he instituted the Lord's Supper at the Passover feast with his disciples. In Luke 22:14-20, starts out with, "And when the hour came, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." So Jesus is already looking forward and drawing his disciples forward to this hope of all the things that will come to be. Not just hope of getting through the day, but to be able to join alongside him. So I'm going to do something a little different today with communion to try to help draw us closer together. So if you guys have spaces between yourselves, would you mind getting up, gathering closer together, and sitting close to each other? So we're going to ask the ushers to pass the emblems. But when we do, if you guys would just hold them, and we're going to take them together so that we can better emphasize our oneness together in Christ. Thank you for coming together, guys, because I really feel like that communion is a time that not only are we communing with the Lord, but we're to commune together with the Lord as well. So again, just take those and hold them in your lap. And he took the bread, and when he had gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your Son and this bread that represents his body, God. Please bless it for us today and help us to use this as a reminder of us being the body of Christ as we come around together to support one another in these times. The body of Christ. And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you knowing that we needed reminders of all that you've done for us and the precious blood of your Son that was poured out for the forgiveness of our sins, God. And just please bless this for us today that we can continue to remember the sacrifices that were made. In your Son's precious name, we do pray. Amen. The blood of Christ.